Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and you are very welcome back to The Unpopular Opinion. My name is Carla. Jen is still on mat leave. Yes, she is. So because of that, I have had to bring in the big guns. I've had to dig deep, shall we say. And when I did ask everyone who would they like to see on the podcast, who would be the person that they would like me to talk to the most, my dad Ray came up the most. So I have Ray with me today. If you want to introduce yourself. He's just staring at me here. So.
Hi, my name's Ray. I'm delighted to be on the podcast. Quite shocked.
Quite shocked?
Yes.
You're absolutely an icon.
Well, I'm absolutely shocked, to be honest.
you were on it, maybe a year ago?
I think it was pre-COVID.
Wow. Yeah, with me and Jen. Actually, yeah, I think you're right.
I think it was pre-COVID.
Yeah, and you did an episode with us then.
I've only seen this on telly. I'm scared.
I'm absolutely positive you're going to be fine. Now, let's start off with something light. Somebody has asked, what is your favourite song?
You know me, like the...
Ray has a very varied taste in music.
Just laughing. Very first, what would you think was the very first single I bought? Way back when, with my own money. You know, not where you're...
See, it's a weird one because I remember the songs in the car that you play when I was growing up.
Oh yeah.
And you were obsessed with that Eminem album.
Yes, I was.
You loved that Eminem album.
Do do do.
Yeah, you loved that one. Yeah. You played a lot of Faithless.
Yes.
You played a lot of R.E.M.
Absolutely. Yeah. R.E.M. A cousin of mine was a sound engineer for R.E.M.
Didn't know that.
Oh, I got to hear about R.E.M. when they were, an indie band. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. You see, phrases have a meaning that I don't necessarily give them. But when R.E.M. were new, my cousin Kevin knew the lads in it. Mm-hmm. And he got involved. He was a good guitar player and he used to help out at times. But he was also into the sound and whatever. So he was a sound engineer on that Out of Time album. He's on that. But he was involved for, I don't know, a good few years before that, just hanging around with them. So that's why back then I knew about R.E.M. Mm-hmm. You know, like they were kind of niche band before they got
really
big.
Really?
Yeah, no, they were small. They were a small band and then they suddenly got big. But sure, look, it was the same thing with the... I suppose you could say in Ireland, you too. Mm-hmm. You know,
Where are R.E.M. from? America.
Pardon?
Are they American?
Yeah, R.E.M. are from Athens in Georgia. Now, some of your listeners might write in and say, no, they're not, but that's his
interpretation.
That's my understanding.
So I'm trying to go back to the original question because I really don't know, because I feel like when I was growing up, I'm a 90s child. And I grew up in the actual 90s. And then trance was huge. It was like trance and rock, I feel. It was like kind of soft rock is that what you were kind of listening to. Very different to where we're at now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you listen to a lot of Fatboy Slim. You listen to a lot of Moby. You had a Moby.
I do, but look.
We had a Moby phase. That's what I remember. But I think that's because I listen to that now. So I remember listening to them with you versus stuff that I wouldn't listen to the Waterboys all that often.
Actually, it's funny you should say that Waterboys when we drove from Cambridge to brought your car home, that was the most fun of all of the songs. The pair of us, we were going through the Welsh mountains and we were singing along together, and I really enjoyed that. But no, back in the day, I suppose, there was a band called 10cc.
okay, was this your first
very first thing with my own money? 10cc, a song called Rubber Bullets.
When was I gonna guess that?
I don't know, you probably never heard the bloody
song. No, I haven't.
But, and then the other thing, when we were younger, a cousin of mine was going out with, when I was over in America, cousin of mine was going out with a musician. I'd love to know when Dark Side of the Moon came out, but we were actually listening to that in America. I must have been about, I don't know, if it came out, let's say 1973, I was about 14.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it came out in 72 or 73. Believe it or not, I listened to that as well.
73 March.
73 Pink Floyd. So it would have been the summer of 73. Mm-hmm. My cousins in America were absolutely infatuated with that. But first one I bought myself, Rubber Bullets, 10cc.
Okay. Do you remember what my first single was?
I can't recall. No.
It was Run DMC, It's Like That.
Oh, It's Like That. That's right.
It's the first single I ever bought. Because my babysitter loved it, so I, of course, then loved it. So
that's the way.
And that's the way it goes. Mm. What do you think nowadays? What's your most what music nowadays do you think, like, that's exciting?
You were teasing me last night about Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you
Flowers.
Love Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't actually, but I just think that song is great, kind of bop along, and it's a song that, if you listen to the lyrics, can be a bit dark, but it's a bit bop along. You know what I mean? I think the actual music, you sing along and you have great crack too. Again, when I was growing up in my house, my mother was very much into the pop music of the time, you know, like the doo-wop-wop. Whereas my father was very much into kind of Pete Seeger and Liam Clancy. So you completely, one, and also Slim Whitman and Jim Reeves. So one was kind of country and western, when you'd be in the car with dad, or he, that's the state. And my mother would be into the real, I suppose, music like you'd hear out of Greece, you know. That was my mother's music. So when we were kids, that's what you were listening to.
Yeah.
And then if you were working in the garden or whatever, and dad would stick a thing on the radio and you'd be listening while you're doing some work, it would be more likely Liam Clancy or Jim Reeves or Slim Whitman or somebody like that.
Have you ever been on TV?
Only playing football.
And have you ever been on the radio?
No. No, no, not really.
Have you ever flown first class?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Your auntie Sinead, her father, your auntie-in-law, I suppose, technically, he was a pilot in Aer Lingus, and pre-9/11 situations were a lot easier.
Lax.
Lax, or well, flexible. I think flexible is the way to use it. And I was lucky enough, I didn't know this, but he happened to be flying. I had bought the cheap seats down the back with the McVitie's, you know, quite happy to be going over to visit Linda in the States. And at the time, there was no direct flights. It was just kind of one or two flights a day to either New York or Boston. Donald was flying the flight, and I got upgraded. And then, as well as that, again, pre-9/11, there's an extra seat in the cockpit, and he allowed me to sit up front for the takeoff and for the landing, and it was just lovely. Like, so,
because you wanted to be a pilot.
Yeah, I actually did. I did the test and got the academic bit, but as you know, my eyes aren't the best, so I failed the eyesight test. And your only alternatives then were you could either join the RAF or you could join the US Air Force. And really, I wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they would train you and you could wear corrective lenses or glasses even, mm-hmm. you know. But
you couldn't for commercial flying at that point. You can now, can't you?
Oh, you can now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, that's my understanding again. Somebody might ring in or whatever. The rules were at the time, I failed the eyesight test and that was that. So...
Like, so accountancy it was.
Accountancy it was.
Was that always your second choice?
Kind of, yeah.
What else would you have done?
Oh, Lord. I don't know. Like, sometimes I wish... I love, as you know, messing around at stuff. So I wouldn't have minded to try and be an engineer or actually physically building stuff.
So that was... What is the biggest difference, do you think, growing up now... And growing up when you did?
Oh, I'm so glad I don't have the social media interaction that mm-hmm. you guys have. You know, like when I was growing up, because of the travel between, let's say, Ireland and the USA in the summer times, mm-hmm. And then in the winter times, I was mad into my football, into the sports. Mm-hmm. And then just I tried to study as best I could. So it was simpler, you know, like basically... you went to school, after school there was training or there wasn't. On the days where you didn't have training, I was friendly with lads in school, and what we would do is we'd go, if the weather was anyway right, we'd go cycling. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd just go cycling for an hour and a half, then head for home. And my parents knew that basically you kind of went to school. You were there from 9 till 4, 9 mm-hmm. till 3:30, mm-hmm. whatever it was. And then you'd be gone cycling, or have you a match today, Ray? Yeah, I don't. Yes, no. Have you training? Yes, no. You know what I mean? And then you were basically home at about 5 o'clock. You ate, you did your homework, you watched telly, you went to bed. None of this stuff, even now, it's a thing that I try and do. Again, you know, because sometimes you're trying to contact me, I'm trying to contact you. I physically turn that phone off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just need, well, no, just time for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think with the best will in the world, we're all tempted to look at the phone. Like, I mean, what did we do just before we started this? Checked the phone, turned it off or turned it down, sound down or whatever. And that's a prerequisite. I think from even if you're 10 or 11 years old anymore, mm-hmm. that I don't miss. You know, I'm glad. Now, let's be straight. If you think back when I was younger, I would have known at least 100 phone numbers in my head. There was something nice about knowing a phone number. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, I can still remember, let's say, Uncle Jimmy's number over in New York, my Aunt Martha's mm-hmm. number. I can remember those, mm-hmm. right? I'd know your number, but very few others, honey. That bothers me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That we're always on, and I don't think we give ourselves enough time.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. And even the simple thing, like the temptation now is that if I'm out on my bike, mm-hmm. right? Back when I was younger, right? You're out on your bike.
But what about what you wish you had when you were growing up from this kind of...
I've been lucky. Even back then, I always thought, while I wanted, let's say, something nicer, I was always blessed to have enough. I was always happy enough that I was lucky. I knew I was lucky mm-hmm. to have enough.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I grew up in a house where it was a normal house, but there weren't too many fights. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They worked very hard to make sure, you know, we got an education and we were fed and we were looked after and whatever. They really did work hard.
Yeah.
Look, we were like everybody else. I always thought the school homework was too hard. Didn't like my homework. Didn't like doing it. Mm-hmm. But always accepted. I was going to use a bad word there, but... No. F this, I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just did it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was also, in a sense... part of the generation of before, you know, this thing where the theme song for Glen Rowe comes on, you know, do 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 that fear. Would give you that fear.
Yeah, no, that's
fair. Sunday night fear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss the most about New York?
About New York?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. New York is genuinely the most vibrant city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing good or bad, you can't get New York. Look, it... Phew. What did I like about it? It's just the pure adrenaline in the place. In a sense, you'd always to be... Remember, I was in America when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I was in America when I was kind of...
Teenager. 18, 19, adult.
20. Mm-hmm. Right. Around then, like if 42nd Street and... especially over 9th, 10th Avenue, around there, that was absolutely verboten. You couldn't. It was a rough, rough part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was working over there, one of the jobs I got, and I lasted about 3 days, was cleaning buses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's incredibly down and dirty in parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a job on Fifth Avenue. Whoopee. You know, like, jeepers. Yeah. Like, I mean...
So you now, said, you know what? I'll leave the buses, lads.
Look, it was essentially working in a place like Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
The money wasn't as good, but I didn't fear getting knifed or getting robbed mm-hmm. on the way home.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, New York was absolutely dynamic. And then I was also, remember, I was blessed... in so much as I had so many cousins,
mm-hmm.
so many aunts and uncles over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And every weekend it was I was either playing a Gaelic match, a soccer match, or hanging out with the cousins.
Yeah.
Like, so I wouldn't call my experience in New York the same as anybody else's, because I had so much going for me.
And you had a lot of Irish community.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was part of it. You know, yeah. like, I was lucky enough to be involved. My aunt Mona's husband, Paddy Burke, was president of one of the local GAA clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I came over, have boots, will play. You know, so that was really it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and there was, and the same thing. And it was just, and it wasn't like, you were coming straight in,
yeah.
and you're getting that instant kind of connection. Now, again, playing football over there, it wasn't anything like playing football over here.
Yeah. Do you have much memories of...
No, now that... Yeah. I've been asked that before.
Yeah. yeah.
And the truth is, no, not a whole lot. It's
very Irish community.
Yeah,
very you see, Irish family.
Well, again, if you think about it, like, people say, like, Dad, my father, your granddad, yeah. right, played hurling over there.
Yeah.
And he was a very good hurler. And one of my memories is going along to Van Cortlandt Park with Dad, because
mm-hmm.
that's where they'd train. So I'd be hanging around at the side of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, whether I was good enough or too scared to run away too far, Dad could go out and train. And I'd hang around with the other kids at the side of the pitch. I have a recollection of being in Van Cortlandt Park.
Mm-hmm.
Being in, I have a recollection of being in Van Cortlandt Park with Dad and Mickey when it snowed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because it was a hill and you'd go down it on the sleigh and whoopee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a recollection of that. I have a recollection of primary school, but I can't even tell you the name of my teacher.
Yeah.
Right. Couldn't tell you the name of my teacher. And the first thing is, every day in school, you stood up and you sang the US National Anthem.
God.
In Ireland, we have a very jaundiced view of stuff like that. It's important. You've travelled in Europe, right? And the further east you go, right? Flags mean a lot. You
no,
know,
I'm aware of that. I just think that there is a very specific view sometimes of Americans and their kind of like attachment to their anthem and their flag and what it means to be American and what it means to have freedom, and then versus the country that they actually live in.
100%. I was actually going, when you were saying that to me,
yeah,
what was crossing my mind is that I don't think even I understand, or my friends understand, when we get into conversations, you know, about America, just how big it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just how diverse it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're in New York, like pre-9/11, oh, sorry, remind me to talk to you again about New York and the how different New York is, let's say, and California is. I've been lucky enough to be down south in particular, Georgia, South Carolina, North Florida. God almighty, it is literally a different country.
Yeah.
It is completely, utterly different.
Yeah.
And then I've visited out in Arizona and Nevada, out that way.
Yeah.
And I've been up in Montana, albeit for 4 days. Like, it's just scary how mm-hmm. big the place is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing that, if you're from, let's say, West Virginia, like, there's another
oh yeah
crazy world, mm-hmm. right? The bits of West Virginia I've visited. Before 9/11, right, most Americans down south, right, would have been happier if the island of Manhattan was hooked up to a big ship, pulled out to the middle of the Atlantic and sunk. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
Because New York was the den of iniquity.
Yeah.
You know, currently the den of iniquity might be Las Vegas. Who mm-hmm. knows?
Yeah.
But I don't get up on my high horse about singing the national anthem in certain schools in America. That's what was done then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not done now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, again, what happened, the past is a different country. You know,
yeah.
it really is a different country. But you were just asking, like, that's one of the few things I remember about primary school.
Singing an anthem.
Yeah, and yeah. I couldn't tell you, like, what we learned.
Could you sing it now?
Not a word.
Yeah,
or
not a word.
The first line, and that's it.
Yeah.
Not a bit.
They didn't drill it in.
No, it didn't sink in.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. But again, we were, like, even back then, we were moving a lot, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
from A to B to C.
You only moved twice here.
Yeah, and I can remember two moves in America.
Okay.
And that's it, you know.
But they were all New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, never lived anywhere. None. Like, they were all either... They're predominantly the Bronx,
yeah,
you know, or the Bronx, right?
I'm aware you brought me there. I was terrified.
Oh, yeah. We went to see the New York Yankees. Well,
and you brought me as well to Jimmy Kenny's house.
Yeah, no, but hold on. That's...
I know. I'm aware, but I do remember. But you have to remember, this was like the 2000s. This was 2005 when you brought me.
Yeah.
But so it was post 9/11, and it was also on public transport, and it was also the Bronx. You can call it what you want.
Yeah, well, we went through Harlem and the South Bronx.
Yeah.
I went through that every single day to work.
I know you did, and good for you. Good for you. You'd raised a soft daughter. You didn't raise...
It was lively.
Yeah.
It was a train. It wasn't a train to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
you knew.
Because was the... I remember, was it the Mexican part was close to the Irish part?
No, it was the Puerto Rican.
Sorry, Puerto Rican part was... And do you remember walking? Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's right.
You were like, don't make eye contact with anyone. Let's just boot it.
Yeah. No.
I remember that very specifically. I remember somebody was... They were playing basketball.
Yeah.
There was this group of, like... I'd say they might have been... If I was 14, I'd say they might have been 18. Let's just say. And they were all playing basketball. And I remember just hearing the ball kind of... You know, when someone drops the ball and it's just staring, and I was like, oh, I gotta run.
That's the local park to Uncle Jimmy, and that was the way down to the pizza place.
I'm aware, but it's still, as a 14-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as if you didn't get me all psyched up on the train. Well, don't look at anybody in the eyes. Don't look at the. Don't look over there. Be careful. And then there was some guy. There was, oh my God, there was a guy with a gun. And I remember I was like, why did I let you bring me?
Yeah.
Because Mum and Amy wouldn't go. Yeah. And well, for good fucking reason, when I think about it.
No, hold on. When you think about it, it was just the. It's the number. Yeah, it's the number six train. It's a lively.
Jennifer Lopez sang about it, yeah.
I didn't know she sang about it.
She got her first album on the six.
All right, yeah. There's a story where we were at a concert in Central Park and I promised my Uncle Jimmy that I was going to take the bus home. And for whatever reason, I said, no, I'll be grand. I'll take the train home, you know, after 11 p.m. Wasn't the smartest move we ever made in our lives.
What happened?
125th Street is pretty much the middle of Harlem, and the train drivers switched over, so that instead of the train just pulling into the station and pulling out again,
it stopped.
And some of the local guys came on board just to see who was on board.
Was there. And they saw Ray, and they thought, woo-hoo!
"Oh no, look! I was lucky in a sense. I was with." Two other guys, but still.
Did you have anything on you?
Nah, you know, like, come here. When you're doing stuff like that, Carla, back then, right, the whole thing was if you were going to be robbed or mugged or whatever, the important thing was to have something in your wallet, money in your wallet, right, and some manner of identification, because the police are entitled to stop you over there and just say, who are you? Mm-hmm. You know, show me your ID. And it doesn't happen too often now, but they're entitled to do it, you know. And so the infamous UCIT student's card was invaluable. So you'd have your student card in your little wallet. But if you had any real money when you were getting on that train or certain parts of the city, you kept it in your sock. Mm-hmm. But you always made sure that there was kind of $10 or $20 in it that the, you know.
They didn't get sus.
Yeah, they kind of, that you were handing over something. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I was going up.
And did you often get mugged? often get robbed? Just a few times?
No, just the once got robbed. Spent.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Robbed one time and I didn't even know it. Pickpocketed.
Okay.
I was going up to play a game in Boston. And I was taking the train from New York up to Boston. And you go into Penn Central or whatever. And that place was lively. And my Uncle Jimmy said to me, now, my man, he says, be very careful. The best pickpockets in the world operate down there. And I'm going, Uncle Jimmy, you'll be fine. I've got jeans on. They're lovely. You know what I mean? They're
my, good and tight. I'll feel it. Yeah.
My wallet is in there, right? And I took my wallet out and I used my student card to buy the ticket because you get the reduction, you know,
student prices,
student price up.
Yeah.
And distinctly remember saying to myself, I'll just put it in my back pocket for a second because I want to rearrange things. Right.
What a gobshite. They could see it coming.
So there I was. Right. And the lads, the address that I was going to, right, up in Boston was in the wallet, right? Now, again, I didn't have, but the most important thing was I abided by Uncle Jimmy's rule. I had about $100 in my pocket. $100 at that time was a good amount of money, you know.
Yeah.
Was going to get me out of any trouble and I had only $10 or $15 left after paying the ticket.
Yeah.
It was pickpocketed. I didn't feel a thing. Just gone. End of story, you know. And I get up to, because I was lucky that I had the actual train ticket in my hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was kind of rooting around at my football bag, you know, because basically you're going up to play a game, you're staying one night and you're coming down the next day, right? And, but I was pickpocketed. And I'm going.
Disgusted. Okay.
Well, I didn't have anybody's address. There's no mobile phones, right? There's no nothing. And so I get up to Boston. I realize now I've been pickpocketed. I don't know where the heck I'm going. And I get out of the train and I ask a guy and I said, look, is there the equivalent of a Gaelic park? And he goes, buddy, I know nothing about it, but that guy over there, he's Irish. Go talk with him. Mm-hmm. So he said, yeah, you know, we'll just say you need to go to Castleknock or to Fairview or whatever. That's the area you need to go to. And the biggest GAA pub in that place is, let's say, Mayo's or the Halfway House. He gave me the name of the neighborhood Tony had to get there. So I go there and walk into the bar, and there's two of my buddies in the bar.
There you go.
That's so true.
You lived an Irish little life when you were in America.
Oh, very much. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, very much so. I was lucky, though, like, pretty much all of the cousins were very American, so I did a lot of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
You know, and being over there for the summertime, you're getting good weather, and you were generally over there for things like the 4th of July and like great fun, great barbecues and stuff like that. So,
did you ever seriously consider moving back with us?
Yes, but it never really panned out, no. Thought about it, looked at it, investigated it, but no, it never really worked out. So
was there any specific times or just when we were kids?
Just when you were kids. Okay. No specific time. Nothing in particular.
I didn't think Mum was into it.
She certainly wasn't.
So we'll leave, that was the end of that.
We'll leave it at that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Best piece of advice you think you've ever been given, or a piece of advice that you think people should know?
Oh yeah, piece of advice I think people should know for sure. I worked with one of my managers when I was a trainee accountant, got the most wonderful job. He was moving from Dublin to Hong Kong, and like as far as we were concerned, like, number one, he was a genius. He was brilliant, you know, and very good with people and very good with numbers. So lovely guy. But we were saying, oh, you're going over and your salary is 10 times what you're earning in Ireland and the cost of living is reasonable. He said, lads, stop right now. He says, the most important thing to remember about money, and he says, I know I'm moving to this big job, is that if you earn 100 euros a week, right, and you spend 99, okay, he says, you're happy. If you earn 100 euros a week and you spend 101, he says, you're creating a debt, and at some stage, you're going to have to pay that back. It was a piece of advice that for a while I remembered, and to my own cost, financial cost, those times I forgot it. So that's the simple one. If you earn 100 euros a week, you spend 99, generally you're happy. You know, earn 100 euros a week, spend 101, it catches up with you. You know, so on the financial side, I wish I had always abided by that. I didn't. So I suffered the unhappy times. And now if I earn 100 a week, I spend 99, you know, and you can make that as complicated or as simple as you want. I'm trying to give you a very simple thing. I think that's brilliant advice. Just then you don't run into any hassle. On the on the other side, just ups and downs with all of us in the world. It's very important, I think, just to, and there's times I'm good at this, take a tiny bit of time for yourself and just do a little gratitude list. I'm working on that at the moment, and it's taken me a while to get back into it. Mm-hmm. I did it. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's a bit like walking every day. You don't want to walk, but the more times you do it, it's easier to do your walk. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the gratitude list. That works for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. And when I don't do it, it's not like you fall off a cliff or anything. You don't suddenly feel bad or whatever. But it's those cumulative little increments. I think that helps. You know, as you know, like I do the yoga. I try anyway. Still not back at it right after hurting my leg. Mm-hmm. But we've lots of good teachers, but there's one lady in particular. She's absolutely brilliant, because when she walks in, not every class, but she'd remind you every second class that, look, how you're feeling today is unique to today. Mm-hmm. Right? And she just encourages you in the yoga room to look for your edge. But it's today's edge. Like yesterday, you might have been able to touch your toes. Today, I can barely touch my ankles.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're looking around the room and, or, you know, that there's people who are flexible. And then there's people, there's another gentleman in the room that I talked to the odd time after. And he's coming back from a car accident. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, wow, you know, like, so it's your own particular edge. If you can look just to find that little edge again. Now, that sounds a bit kind of California. Oh, let's all sit down, you know, hold hands and sing Jambalaya or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's a good one. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of time for yourself, and then just try and enjoy the day. Look for your edge, and then do your little gratitude list. And I'm talking three things,
yeah,
max.
Yeah,
because I never seem to be, I never write too much. Because,
yeah.
But just I write down three things, and that's it.
Sure.
And I think that works. Mm-hmm. You know, that and the money one. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd do it all the time, but I don't.
Yeah, that's okay. You're allowed. What would you ever run for president?
In Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think so. I don't. Actually, do you know what? I don't think I'm eligible. No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I am.
Oh, you're not. Yeah, you're not an Irish citizen.
No, I am. I'm
no,
both.
You are. Sorry. Yeah. But you're primarily.
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know.
Yes. Sorry about look, that now, huh?
Sorry. Yeah. I.
Would it interest you?
The Irish presidency. Do you know what? I really have enjoyed the last four. I've enjoyed Michael D. Don't agree with everything he says. Enjoyed Mary McAleese. Again, don't agree with everything she says. Mm-hmm. Mary Robinson was a bit of a revelation and revolution. Definitely don't agree with all she says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but look... we have been blessed with the current crew.
Are you nervous?
Of
the next crew?
Could be. Very interesting. Like, Michael D has to retire, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, I know, look, come here. As I say, I agree with a lot of what he does. I think he's a man of integrity. I don't agree with all his views, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't have to agree with everything. And, I've no idea who's... I mean, some of the names that have come up, nobody's ticking a box for me just yet.
Conor McGregor said he was going to go for it.
Certainly Conor wouldn't be getting my vote, but that's okay. I don't think if Conor ran, he'd be looking for my vote.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, no. Like, definitely I don't think he would be.
Was it a shock having two girls?
Yes and no. Look... You know, I've said it to both of you, mm-hmm. right? all I really, really wanted was that you'd be healthy,
mm-hmm.
And that you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and both your mother and I, we've been blessed. You are healthy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And fully engaging and the whole,
yeah.
Like just, and you were fun.
Yeah.
You were absolute fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then your grandparents, there was nearly rows between them. If Deirdre and I had a wedding or we had to go somewhere, there was nearly rows as to where you were going to stay because you were good, fun to be with. Good kids. Yeah, no, look. Again, you keep slagging about me trying to get you to play football and yeah. whatever when you were yeah. younger.
It was a lot.
Yeah, but just come here.
You said, I've one more chance and it has to be hers.
But look.
Didn't work with the older one.
Didn't work with the older one, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You were very engaged. Look, honey, none of us... I used to love going along watching both the play hockey or turn up at games. And like, didn't matter to me whether you were on the Irish or Leinster team or the school teams. Once you were running around having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was lucky enough to run around and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was great. But yeah, two girls, bit of a shock.
Yeah, I know. And I'm surprised you said, well, I suppose everybody else had boys.
Yeah, like you were a bit of an outlier. All yeah. right, yeah.
Sorry but about that.
Oh, no, sure. There you go.
Describe your perfect day.
Oh, Lord. Good God. Well, look, I like getting up early. If it's a weekend, if it's early and the weather is dry, as you know, I enjoy getting out, and one of the ways a good walk spoiled is a game of golf. Go out and play golf,
mm-hmm.
Have a bit of food after it, just a sandwich or something small, then come home and just hang, mm-hmm. do some bits and pieces around the house, or
that's your perfect day.
Or go out that's for your another cycle. Which?
That's your all the time.
Yeah, I know. I work hard at that. I work hard at making a perfect day.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, it's not the worst one.
What is your favourite food or your favourite meal?
Oh, Lord. Again, it's like the music. Just the humour, I mean. I really like Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or Thai-influenced food. I love noodles. I was out recently as well and we called into an Eastern fusion restaurant and I had the soup with noodles and with prawns in it. I thought I was definitely going to just, I was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soup and the prawns and the noodles in the soup. You know what I mean? It was more, I would have thought, of Vietnamese food.
Mm-hmm.
But as well, absolutely love at times just a bit like yourself, haven't had one in a good while now, but a Carvery,
yeah,
nothing like it. Just yeah. you know, a slice of ham, a slice of chicken, some mashed potatoes, carrots, beans, or not beans, peas.
Mm-hmm. What about that feast I made you yesterday? How dare
actually
you?
The feast you made last night was probably the best meal in that house for about 5 years. Just genuinely, everything was super delicious.
Just to bring everyone up to scratch, I cooked the Christmas dinner this year. Not Tom, not Amy, not Ray.
Certainly not Ray.
It was all on me. Anna, and it was on. You got hell
some,
on earth.
You got some help with the starter. I did the starter.
Sorry, Ray did the starter. Ray did the starter, which basically was Ray took
The prawns out of the packet.
The prawns out of the packet and put it onto a bed of lettuce.
And don't forget, I chopped up the tomatoes.
And he chopped the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great.
And Jesus, he lived a life.
Yeah.
It's just because you make such random decisions when you cook.
Yeah, I know. Look, come here. Last night was delicious. Chicken was lovely. Ham was lovely. The two different styles of potatoes to die for. You were flying by the seat of your pants with the roast potatoes, but it worked out brilliant. Mm. And those carrots. For anybody who's listening, Carla decided to do carrots with honey and one or two other bits. And then she threw in some random...
No, I didn't. It was chilied honey. It wasn't random.
Well,
it was
part of the recipe.
Problem is with Ray. Ray is the kind of person, right, where I would give Ray a bar of chocolate. And I would say, eat that chocolate. He'd say, gorgeous chocolate. And I'd go, it's vegan. And he'd automatically hate it then. Even though he just enjoyed the chocolate. Or I'd give him tea and he'd drink the tea and go, God, that was a beautiful cup of tea. And I'd go, yeah, it was actually skimmed milk. And then he'd be like, shite tea, hate it. What is wrong with you? You get so weird about things. So I knew what I was getting at. I did the carrots earlier that morning and I did them in a honey chili, which is a fabulous chili that I buy from a guy in a market. Irish, small Irish business, how dare you? And I did it with garlic. I did it with herbs and spices, thyme, rosemary, everything. And I slow baked them for bloody ages. And Ray was like, these carrots are delicious. And Amy goes, what did you put in it? And I told her. And the minute you heard chili, you put your fork down. And I was like, you are so unbelievably frustrating. At one point, I think I gave you something and it didn't have chili in it. But you asked me four or five times. You were like, I'm sweating. And I was like, well, I don't know why. It's milk. Do you know? Ketchup is a spicy food. I've never come across someone quite so sensitive to non-existent spice.
And yet, how come I enjoy...
You love Thai food and you love Chinese food and you love South Asian food and you love all the fusion foods. Yeah, I know.
Now, look, we'll agree to disagree.
What is your dream holiday? I know this.
Oh, I'd love to go to Thailand again. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love to. We're only there for 4 days. I just thought the people and the food and just the ambiance was just wonderful. You know, like, again, I jet lag, so I was waking up at the craziest hours. Mm-hmm. But I actually felt safe enough to go out, like, pre-dawn and watch dawn come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then close... Well, I found it and visited it twice. There was a Buddhist temple.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the days there was a wedding there, or a ceremony that was our equivalent of a wedding. And then just the other thing was I was up early and I don't know, they must have had 500 candles lighting. And so long as you took your shoes off and you left them, you could stay to the side, hang around.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was lovely. Now, again, Thailand is a country with problems. I'm not like we could see. Yeah, when you go into the town at night, perhaps to have something to eat or to have a look around, there's plenty of issues in Thailand, you know. But we... As I said, only there for 4 days. I'd love to see more of that country.
Mm-hmm.
I love the food. I really thought the people were so nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, one that I might do, we'll see. I wouldn't mind doing a week or two just strolling on that Camino.
Yeah.
Some of my friends have done it and they all come back and they just say it's special.
Yeah.
So something like that. We'll see.
Do you have any big regrets or any regrets at all? Even small ones?
Oh, look, plenty of them. Usually, you know, silly things. Still can remember losing football games. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The first girl I kissed. Whoa.
That was a regret, was it?
No, it was great. The regret was when she dumped me. You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Perhaps in college I should have studied harder and done less socializing and less partying.
Really?
Just studied a little harder, a little
you
clever.
Loved college though.
Oh yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah I did. But you know, there, you're asking, but look, honey,
I don't think anything would have changed if you had. Do you get me?
No, I don't think
that's
that
what
it
I mean
would.
I don't think it would have made
no I don't think there's very few other bits like that, you know. That's again, as you know, I was lucky. I got on well with my parents. I wish they were around a little longer, but look, they passed away when they passed away. Damn all I can do about that. So that what that then does is it gives you more of an emphasis that I enjoy meeting people that I may not have seen in a long time. And their lives can go one way and my life would have gone the other way, and people that you were really friendly with, I miss that sometimes. You know, things change, people move. Or my circumstances change or their circumstances change, and you just don't see them enough. I have a really good friend who was in touch with me, and I just said to him, okay, I'll give you a ring back now over Christmas. But he was my best friend in school. And just his brother passed away unexpectedly. So I saw him at his brother's funeral, and he just said, look, let's have a chat over Christmas where we can both just sit on Zoom or on WhatsApp or whatever, because he now lives in Italy. So it's not like you could sit down and have a cup of tea or coffee. Vince McMahon.
Oh, my godfather.
But you see, Vince, things...
The one I haven't met.
Things changed for Vince, you know.
No, I know.
So, like, if you look at, you know, if you... for a completely committed environmentalist...
He's
travelled a lot, you know, but a lot of his work is for environmental issues. That's why, you know, and if Vince can get somewhere by train or by... bus or by bike, he'll do it. He'll fly at the last, as the last, or that the last time I was talking to him, but he's very much into the environment. And unlike a lot of us, he actually gets up, goes down there, gets his feet and hands dirty. You know what I mean? He's going down to the various countries and trying to help out. So that's why I haven't, like, until his brother died, last time I saw him before that was his mother's funeral. Like, that was...
Love a funeral.
Honey, at my age in life, it's probably one of the few times you get to meet people. And you're very glad that you're looking at the grass from this side rather than the other side. You know, like, think about it. You know, it's not... it's not that... I like a good funeral, but it's just there's some of my friends I'll turn up. I think it's important. I was very grateful to people when my dad passed away, when my mother passed away. They just turned up, shook your hand. You know, like, so I've before that, I could take them or leave them and say people, sure, people would notice you weren't there. And sometimes they're in shock, or sometimes it's such a big funeral they don't. But just for myself, if I can, and if they mean something to me, you know, like, because again, it's not a game of perfect. You can't, you know, I know you smile at this, but I actually don't go to too many. But just when I go there, I just want to say hi and give my respects and commiseration. And anyway, so I don't know how we got down this track.
No, it's just something. Someone said, I hope his leg is feeling better. And what is something that you wish people knew about me?
Oh, Lord. Leg is getting better. It's still not right, mainly because I'm not doing the exercises diligently, as the physio said to me.
Well, that's stupid.
Oh, well, as she said... Are you doing the exercises? And I said, yeah, I'm doing everything.
Once a fortnight.
And she goes, are you doing them diligently? And I go, So, no, look, come here. The leg is better, and thank you for asking. What was the other question again, please?
What is something that you wish people knew about me? Raise a little stumped here now.
Yeah, I completely, I actually don't know how to answer that question. I don't know. I think I can be a good person to have a conversation with. A bit of fun. I do care about people, especially people I know. You know, so I don't know. I suppose I can.
The question was, what do you wish people knew about me?
Oh, about Carla? Yeah. Ah, that's a different thing now. Oh, I thought you were asking me to talk about myself. Jesus.
Where is he going?
Sure, I didn't know where to go with this. All right.
I'm lolling. I think I'm a nice person. I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Oh, now, what do I think people should know about Carla? Okay. Right. Now, very much depends. Depends on the humor that Carla's in. Mm. But no, generally speaking. Carla can be a bit touchy at times, especially if she's been out partying and she's in recovery mode. But anyway, we'll skip over that. No, what I really like about Carla is that she's genuinely caring and she's genuinely passionate. Now, that's scary at times because it's both passionate in a good way and passionate when she doesn't like you. There's no filter there. There's absolutely no filter. What else is there about Carla? Actually, she's very trustworthy.
So funny.
But you're incredibly passionate about stuff. And it's funny, you're Jekyll and Hyde when it comes to listening to people. You're a really good listener. And there's times I could be telling you what I think is the most important thing in the world. And Carly, you should know what I'm about to tell you is the most important thing in the world. And it's a bit like when you were a kid. It was, nah, that I'm gone. I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. You know, you were so funny when you were younger at times, you know, you get engrossed in whatever you were doing. And basically, you could say, Carla, we're all going now. And you could see you didn't hear us. Carla, time to go now. No, Carla's still doing what she's doing. And so, you know, you can be incredibly single-minded.
Mm.
Yeah, very, very single-minded. And just lost in the project.
Mm.
Whatever the project is, you're lost in it.
Yeah.
And you can be hard to distract or hard to kind of go, time to go home time. Why? Or Carla, it's raining. Will you put on a jacket? No, it's not raining. It could be spilling down, right? But what you were doing was the most interesting thing in the world to you. And like, things like putting on a jacket or you know, that it's now nighttime and time to go home time. No. It's over when I say it's over. That's Carla.
It's a good to know I've been like that forever then.
Say that again, please.
Good to know I've been like that forever. So.
Oh, yeah.
What is something that like you still look back on and you laugh at?
A TV show or life in general?
Life in general.
Oh, Lord.
Or something that stuck with you. I remember you told me that story about you in Paris and the lads and you.
Oh, Christ.
The Napoleon statue. Napoleon? No, it was, what's his name?
Charlemagne. Yeah,
Not the rapper, lads.
No.
The general.
We had this crazy idea. No, look, we had this crazy idea we should climb up on the statue. And we somehow managed it, which really surprised the French police and the when they came to arrest us. Or they didn't arrest us, they just took us down
and
gave us a good slap on the wrist, you know. I've had loads of little funny things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've been very lucky, Carla. Like one time I was away with the guys and we were playing golf and we ended up at a restaurant and it was a nice restaurant and there was a piano player there. And as you know, some of the guys two of them in particular, really good singers.
Yeah.
So we being Irish and you're abroad and one or two drinks and whatever, and we start to sing along to the piano player, and the piano player was delighted. But it turned out that there was other people there, and we were in South Carolina, and these guys were down from New York, but it turns out that they were genuinely crazy Italians, you know, and we ended up having a lovely night. But it all started just because we liked to sing along to the piano player.
Yeah.
And then we got invited to a nightclub with them, and it was like something you'd see in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
We arrived, and there's a queue. Our boys weren't queuing, neither were we. It was straight in. We're with him and straight in. Like, it was just a different world. But we firmly believed that they were organized crime, and we didn't realize it at the time. If we did, we guess that now.
Yeah.
But it was just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like when we got there, then there was champagne. There was just things you'd see in a film that you just say to yourself, nah, this couldn't be happening. It did. It's just a bit weird. And you're saying other lovely things. I was also, you were talking about flying first class. One of Donald's best friends, I was again flying over, and Donald's best friend put me up the front again for a takeoff and landing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we landed into a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And going into JFK with a snowstorm is really, really something else. You know, so little things like that.
Yeah.
Very, very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I did loads of little things with you and with Amy. And it was usually the simple little things, like just sitting and watching you run and just listening to you laugh. I remember, if you recall, we were lucky enough to go on one of the Club Med holidays to Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that the food was lovely. You were having a great time.
Yeah.
I was having a great time. It was very hot. Do you remember?
Very hot.
Do you remember both you and I, Deirdre and Amy wouldn't do it, but you did the junior one and I tried to do the senior one, the trapeze.
The trapeze.
Wow.
Yeah, you loved that.
I absolutely loved it. The thrill of it,
yeah.
You know, because basically I have a fear of heights. Mm-hmm. And yet I said, right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then getting up there, the thrill and the adrenaline of just swinging back and forth. And then, like, when they asked you to do the maneuvers, at that stage I was a lot younger and a lot fitter and I could do the maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing, if you remember, of you had to throw your hands back and let the other guy,
yeah,
catch the trainer.
Hated
catch
it.
You,
yeah,
and you had to let go and you had to completely trust the other guy. Mm-hmm. And just, you're in midair.
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting for your man to catch you.
Yeah. It was terrifying.
Pure fear.
Yeah,
absolute fear. Mm-hmm. And the sense of achievement when you actually did it.
Yeah.
And like, you did it and I did it, and just sort of, I was just saying, but I think it's so funny because as far as I was concerned and as far as your mother was concerned and your sister, you had no fear. It was, what? Let me up there. I need to get up there.
It does sound like me.
Yeah, yeah.
It does sound like me. For somebody who's not a fan of heights, you sure put me on a lot of roller coasters.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I think as you know, the fear of heights comes from falling out of a tree, and there's one or two ways of dealing with it. You know, like if you're going up on a roller coaster, you look at the top bit, right? And then when you go over the top, do you remember that picture? I'd love to find that one again. Of
where you're screaming at me, open your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What age was I? Like 11?
You were young, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you were younger than that.
No, I was 9. Maybe 8?
Yeah.
When was this? Was this Vegas?
Vegas, yeah.
I was 8, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. So,
I was tall and you were delighted because I was tall for a kid. So you put me in my chunkiest runners so I could go on this poxy roller coaster.
Yeah. And it was great fun.
It failed its safety test.
We only heard about that afterwards.
Yeah.
But it did add an edge of terror. We couldn't understand why it was so terrifying. But look, you know, but it was great. Come here. We survived it.
We did. Here. Listen, we're sitting here to tell the tale.
We're sitting here to tell the tale. But that was a good one now. You know, that was a bit crazy. You, me, Siobhan and Amy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was great. That was absolutely wonderful, actually.
I'd love to find that photo.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. That was a goodie.
Well, right. It has been a pleasure to have you. Is there anything you would like to anyone to know before you go? And any last pearls of wisdom?
Oh, no. I don't know. Well, look. Come here. Enjoy. If you're getting a break at Christmas, enjoy it. Even today, I got so wound up in work trying to do A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think we all need, and I'm talking to myself, I wish I could talk to myself in the mirror and just say, will you just take your time? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That a lot of what we were worrying about last night or whatever, it never came to pass, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't mean I don't care. I care, right? It's important to care. It's important to plan. I think if you plan stuff, it removes a bit of uncertainty, mm-hmm. and it provides you with a little bit of motivation. But, you know, especially for myself, I try and do too much. And then in the doing, I don't actually enjoy the achievement of what I've achieved, mm-hmm. or done. And it could be something simple. Like last night, the meal you did, it was just lovely. And I was saying to myself afterwards, gosh, it was just lovely. And I really enjoyed eating it. Mm-hmm. Right? And I was very grateful I could eat it. Mm-hmm. But I felt that you were so tied up in the making of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That perhaps you didn't enjoy it as much as we did.
Yeah.
And to turn that on its head, that's me as well. When I get stuck into a project or when I'm trying to do stuff, sometimes I just try and do too much. I have a friend who sometimes says he's very... He's a great guy to hang out with at times, but he says sometimes we're juggling too many balls.
Yeah.
And he says try and catch one and just put it gently on the table. It doesn't mean that you don't care about it. It's just right now I can only juggle, let's say, 3 balls, mm-hmm. instead of 4.
Yeah.
And instead of all 4 falling on the ground, he says if we can have the cop on to juggle... like you were always a good juggler. You could juggle 3 balls. I could never juggle.
No.
And just put down 1. And then he says, on a good day, you can juggle 4. But on a bad day, just juggle 3. And so that's really it. Try and just stay within your own boundaries. 'Cause we're all guilty of trying too hard. We're mm-hmm. way, like... You are way, way too tough on yourself at times. Mm. And I know I am. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that saves us all is a lot of people in the world, we're too tough on ourselves.
Yeah,
so
fair.
That's all I'd say.
That's okay. A great pearl of wisdom. Right?
Oh, Lord, you have me blushing here now.
Would you like, I add a song to our playlist every week. Is there a song that you'd like me to add on behalf of you? So what song have you gone for? He's went through his whole playlist there now.
I'm going to go with Blue Nile, Headlights in the Parade.
Okay. So not the Weightless.
Weightlifting by the Trash Can Snatchers is fantastic as well. But
okay. He wants Blue Nile. Okay, either. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, gang. Thanks so much for coming with us, Murray. Thanks a million for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome, KK. Mm-hmm.
And look, any last bits now?
No, I probably thought of five things on the way here.
Yeah.
And five things while we were doing it.
Yeah.
And I'll think of five things on the way home. And I can't think of a single thing now.
That's okay. Look, it's not that natural. Okay, thanks a million, guys. Goodbye.
Night, night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.